Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Montag, lieben, glauben, glauben.
All right. I got something to say. Well, it's better to burn out than fade away. All right. Hey. Gonna start a fire. Come on, rise.
Up in smoke, rock on, rock on. Camel crazy, yeah. No serenade, no pyrenade. It's the pyromania. Come on.
What do you want?
What do you want?
I want rock and roll. Yes, I do. Such a good song. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. Good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Of course, happy Saturday to all of you. It's a full house today. This beautiful thing across from me.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Well, that's our producer, but that one right there, though, that's Steve Silva.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And the one with the boobs and the Virginie, that's our hot for looking producer. That'd be producer Casey. Good morning, everybody. This is, and I'm Sean Roberts, and this is your Weekly Dose podcast.
We thank you for joining us today as we are streaming live to you from Orange County, California. Now, if you're new to your Weekly Dose, this program is about having fun.
Oh, my God.
And laughing.
That is so right, Steve. You know, laughing at all the things that we experience in everyday life. The embarrassment, the silly things, the awkward things, the fun things, even the naughty things.
You know, the things that connect us all. The things that make us human. And as they say, laughter is the best medicine.
And of course, all of our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you guys are a part of the show and join in the conversation. You can do that in several ways. For example, comment on our website, yourweeklydose.com.
Send a message via Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
Say hello to us on Facebook at yourweeklydose.
Or if you want to send us a personal message, just email us at yourweeklydose1 at gmail.com.
That is right. We got a pretty cool show for you guys today. First off, we got kids caught doing the most random things. We got motorcycle facts for Motorcycle Day. How often, ladies, how often should you be changing your underwear? Meaning, how often should you be buying new underwear? We're also going to have a cake decorating contest between Steve and I for Cake Decorating Day. And we're going to offer up a pocket-sized cinema and, of course, what's news?
That's right.
Nice hey, ass, Steve.
Yeah, I'm nice right there. On top of it. You can always download past shows for free at our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you are on the go, you can subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose, and most importantly, tell the world what you think of us. So please rate and review the show.
That's right. Oh, Casey, crank that song, please.
Yeah! Ow!
My hips are moving. So's my belly.
Wow.
That's right. Today's theme song was Def Leppard's Rock of Ages.
I can tell why they went deaf. Playing that stuff loud.
Oh, my God. Such a good song, though, man. Takes us back. Of course, we picked it Rock of Ages mainly because it's Rocktober. So we want to rock out in Rocktober. So there you go. Rock of Ages by Def Leppard. And remember, guys, any of the music that we play, you can always go to our website, yourweeklydose.com. Click on the Amazon banner and bookmark it. And then shop to your heart's delight. because they're our main sponsor. And then that way, every time you shop on Amazon, we get a little bit of dough. That's right, like a penny, maybe 2 pennies, maybe even a nickel. Depends how much you spend. We don't know that, but go shop there, and that way we can stay on the air. Simple as that. What's your favorite Def Leppard song, though, Steve? I mean, do you have any?
That one, 2.0.
Oh, my God. Are we going to go back to year one?
That's all I got. I got nothing.
Okay, we got to tell the story then in order so people can understand. And so Casey understands as well. So when we first started the show, we had Victoria Schneider, one of our first co-hosts, female co-hosts. Beautiful young redhead, very intelligent. But when it came to music, it wasn't all that great. So being of the younger generation, she was 21, 22 at the time. And so we were playing, it was National Pound Cake Day. So we were playing Van Halen's Pound Cake from their For Unlawful Cardinal Knowledge album, basically. And so I asked her, what is her favorite Van Halen song? You know, is it, you know, with Sammy or is it going to be with David Lee? And she goes, Pound Cake 2.0? She had no clue, basically, you know.
Nope.
So the next, about 3 episodes later then, we set it up to see how well she knew these extremely popular classic rock songs were going to be. And we started off with something simple like the theme from Friends. You know, I was like, did she at least know that?
Oh, no.
You know, she actually did very well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I would have done terrible for that.
And when we got to Def Leppard's Pour Some Sugar on Me, she goes, oh, yeah, this is the one I always dance to. You know? Like, so do 500 other strippers in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But yeah, she actually did really good, so but we miss her. So, but yeah, that's where that comes from. So, really, you don't know that many Def Leppard songs? You're not that deep into their catalog?
I wasn't into that rock.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you were more Smoking Doobies. You're more Michael McDonald kind of.
Yeah, Mike McDonald and Simon and Garfunkel and the Beatles and, yeah, Moody Blues.
I thought you liked early Def Leppard for some reason, though.
Yeah, no.
This is early Def Leppard. Yeah.
I wouldn't know early from late.
Oh, there's a huge difference, trust me.
That's what my teacher in school said.
Yeah. I don't know. My favorite... I don't know what it is. I think it got a little bit more pop rock, a little bit, but it still had that Def Leppard sound, though. But almost any song from the album Adrenalize, which came after Hysteria, I kind of liked it. It just, there was just something more pop rockish about it than anything else, you know. And unfortunately, it was the last album that Steve Clark played on as well, because he had just passed away prior due to a alcohol poisoning, because he...
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I got the news, like, a day early because I was dating a gal here who was from England. Well, she turned out to be, like, his third cousin kind of a thing. I kind of lucked out, and she had gone back to England, and she called me. She goes, just to let you know, you're going to hear some big news tomorrow morning in the U.S. because she goes, it's already hit here. I'm like, well, what's going on? And she told me that her cousin Steve Clark passed away. You know, I'm like, oh, my God. You know, so and it was. It was pretty big news. So,
yeah, believe that.
Yeah, but anyway, so I don't know. That's Def Leppard's got a lot of good songs, though. Oh, my God, if you get a chance to see them live, though, please go, people. Please go. I cannot wait because the next tour with them right now, it's going to be them. They're headlining with Motley Crue, Poison, and then, to me, the queen of rock and roll, Joan Jett. That is going to be one hell of a
concert.
That's
going to be an entertaining night.
Yeah, and I can't wait. It's going to be third row.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my sister's taking me, so I can't wait for that. So it's been, because it's been put on delay now for the last couple of years because of it, you know, because of COVID and everything. So, because she got them for, it was supposed to be 2020. Oh. And yeah, so I was like, okay, all right, well, let's see what happens. And everything got postponed and pushed back and what have you. So, but it's all good. All right, should we catch up?
I didn't know I was behind. Do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-
So what you got, Steve?
Other than that really cool hailstorm with a whole bunch of thunder and lightning, I got nothing.
That was so good.
I know. It was everywhere. It was all over Orange County and everything.
Oh, I loved it.
Just something you only see usually in the Midwest.
But you know, we were talking about that the other day too. And the thing is, it's like even the news people say, "Oh yeah, there's going to be all these thunderstorms and lightning strikes and everything." And you know, Southern California is not used to seeing that bullshit. We used to have it when I was a kid. Every year, we actually had a season of rain coming through. You know, I mean, it was basically between October all the way through February.
Yeah, but there was smog.
God, jeez. Oh. I mean,
I laid around all week and enjoyed myself, and other than running out to look out the front door at the hailstorm, that was.
Did it hail in your area?
Oh God, yeah. They were like the size of nickels.
They were
about that big. It was like, the reason I went out to look is because it was hitting my window and it sounded like it was going to break it.
Oh, wow.
Because it was hitting so hard. It was a lot of it. It came down hard. The wind was blowing.
Was it after that one big giant kaboom that happened?
I don't remember. There were a lot of big kabooms.
Okay, well, this one was, I mean, this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, one was real close. I remember that one.
Okay, all right.
But I think that was after.
Okay, because there was one that was like right over us.
Yeah.
And it lit up my backyard. I mean, that's how close the lightning strike was. And it would boom, and I'm like, and soon
how'd
as,
it go?
Boom!
Wow.
Yeah, it's like me last night. But it was, but I mean, it hit so hard and everything that as soon as that happened, everything just poured. Like the floodgates just opened up for a good 20 minutes. And
it was,
God, it was beautiful.
It was quite a night. So that was my excitement for the week.
Yeah, we had a nice thunderstorm, you know, coming through Southern California. We needed the rain, thank God. And but beautiful lightning was coming through also, and lightning up here and there and everywhere, and it was really, really nice. And I sat out in the back porch and just watched it for a good half hour, 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah, it's fun to do that. I remember when I was in Illinois, I lived on an apartment up on the in an old house, and the old house had kind of like turrets, you know, those old Victorian houses.
In
the corners they'll have like it's round and there's windows in there.
I love those.
I put my bed right in there in the window, and I opened the window, and it was just the right height. I laid in my bed and put my pillow on the windowsill and just laid there and watched and listened to the thunderstorm. They get hailed there like, you know, big hail, like sometimes they're like golf balls. But yeah, I love that stuff.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice. A lot of people were. Did it affect you out, Casey, out in where you're at?
Yeah, we had quite a bit of rain, but it wasn't anything. There was no hail. It just rained.
Just rain?
Yeah, I mean, it's warmer there an hour into the Inland Empire.
Yeah.
But I did live in North Carolina one time, and we had hail that came down like the size of softballs. It totaled my car.
Yeah. Wow. That happens every once in a while. It's like, you got
to
have insurance.
I'd love to see that, but then I don't want to see it. You know?
Yeah, it's spectacular.
Yeah.
You're watching it from
just
inside.
For the awe.
Yeah, and then you're watching it smash the car, and you start to question the construction of the building that you're in.
Really?
That's funny. There was one time where I was working for a Guitar Center, and they sent me to Nashville to learn on how Gibson guitars were made. So I got to just sit in the factory and go through the whole factory and everything. And while we were there, awesome storm started just coming through or whatever, and this was right after the big flood that they had a few years back. And it was so funny because the majority of us were from Southern California, and you know, like I said, when I was a kid, we always had thunderstorms, you know, so to me it was nothing new. We just haven't had them in a long time. And so there was one where the lightning was coming in and just cracking and everything. And I'm just like going, this is beautiful. You know, the rain started to come down. And kind of like the other night, there was one that hit close to us and just boom, you know. And everybody from Southern California was like, oh, my God, that was so. I'm like, really? You guys are chicken shit about that? I go, we have this back home. What the hell are you talking about? You know, but they just haven't seen it, you know, in so long, though. But, Oh, I love thunderstorms like that. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of cool.
Best storms are in the Midwest.
No, those are scary storms.
By far, they are the best, though. They are the they are the most visually stunning.
Yes.
And it's because it's so flat, you can see storms that are in neighboring towns.
Yeah.
And you can watch them roll through, and you can see the clouds form and the rain falling down, and you can see the lightning dancing off in the distance, and then it comes your way, and it's terrifying.
Oh, yeah. And they go, what's that big funnel thing? Run! That's what? Run! That's all you got to do. Shame, the crickets, but you know, you're right. The Midwest, I mean, they have some amazing storms back there, but damn, they're scary looking at times, too. Mm-hmm. They are just damn scary. I'm glad you had a good week, though, Steve.
Me too. Someone else has a big story, though.
I do. I got a phone call last week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, after the show. But first, we're going to go to Casey.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Maya. So Friday morning, 4 a.m., I get woken up with some pounding on the door, neighbor.
Yesterday,
to let us know. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, yeah, that was yesterday. Isn't that crazy? How you just lose track of the reference of time. Yeah. To let us know that his trailer had caught fire. We live in an RV park. We live full time in an RV. And so we sprung into action. I mean, it was straight out of a comic book. Mateo just shot up right out of bed, ready to run, butt naked outside.
I
with
bet
a
he
hose.
Looked good, though. Did he use the right hose?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
Ask him afterwards. I said, so tell me, was that the manliest you've ever been? Was fighting a fire naked?
Did it turn you on?
It was pretty interesting to see, but I told him, I was like, it's a lost cause at this point,
Notice
Mateo.
Notice
you
didn't say yes, though.
Yeah. It was...
I mean, talk about role-playing for you guys.
Dude, it was a sight to see, let me tell you. Yeah, but unfortunately, I mean, it was devastating. It was catastrophic. Yeah. It took down the entire trailer. Luckily, we have a Class C, which is the mobile home with the truck front end, so we can actually drive it. Mm. So we were actually able to evacuate our slot.
Just peel that burn thing off.
Yeah, we had some minor damage to the top of our RV. I mean, it was about to go up. Yeah, it was starting to melt. So we were very fortunate, very lucky, you know, and... So it was startling.
I can imagine. Well, especially that close, because those things are not far away from each other. So it's very easily for one to ignite
onto the next. And what's even scarier is that we use propane tanks.
Oh yeah,
for everything, for cooking, for And so you know the fire fighters that were there, they were talking to me about what goes on with these propane tanks, and they affectionately used the term they like to pepper. And I said, oh God, what does that mean? And he says, well, you know how you just scatter a little all over your food? That's what it'll do.
Wow.
And then he left it at that.
Okay. And that means what?
That it'll explode like shrapnel.
Oh wow.
It'll send fire in all directions.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll pepper out.
Oh damn.
A little seasoning for everyone in the park.
Yeah. Oh, that's scary.
A little fire for you.
Yeah,
a little fire for you.
Yeah, it was terrifying. It was quite a situation to experience.
Wow.
Yep, but everybody got out health safe, you know.
That's good.
And
that's
okay.
The most important part, you know.
Yeah, the firefighters were a hero. Our neighbor, the gentleman whose trailer actually did catch fire, he is missing his leg from the knee down, and the firefighters were actually able to rescue his prosthetic.
Wow.
And they came out like it was a trophy.
I got it.
Let's put a lamp on it.
Yeah. It's getting close enough to Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. It was a little warped, but yeah, it still was functional.
Well, I'm glad you're okay. I'm glad that your neighbor survived and no other damage happened to you guys.
Yeah, that's it was able to be isolated to the single trailer. The firefighters did a great job. Go Cal Fire.
All right. Nice. I love it.
I know. So that was my exciting time for the week. Yep. So now we're dealing with some insurance claims.
That's actually better than mine.
Maybe more exciting.
I don't know.
But not better.
Definitely more exciting, because I'll tell you this. Okay. So I get a phone call from Paul Preston, our buddy, or from the movie guys, right? And Paul goes, dude, what are you doing tonight? And I'm like, nothing. And he goes, well, how would you like to go see Maroon 5? And I went, you know what? I've never seen him. Why in the hell not? You know? And so they're playing at that new stadium in downtown LA that's right next to the Coliseum, the where they play soccer at. Mm-hmm. The Bonk of America, or Bonk of California, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where the Chargers were playing.
Okay, all right. So, anyway, so we go down there, and that's where they're performing at. So I meet Paul and some other friends of his who are the ones who actually got the tickets, and they had an extra ticket and everything. So we're like, okay, cool, no problem, whatever. So we get there. We didn't watch the first two acts, you know, because we didn't know who the hell they were, basically. So, but we watched Maroon 5 come out and started off, you know, with their two biggest hits, basically the Moving Like Jagger, whatever. And then there was another one that I know it's on the radio because I'm not a huge Maroon 5 fan, you know, but I recognized it. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So they play those two right away and then just went to a plethora of their catalog, you know. And during the concert, I realized, because of there's a lot of reggae or island type of rhythms, you know, that they play, I realized, holy shit, Maroon 5 basically is the Jimmy Buffett of rock and roll. You know, that's what it kind of reminded me of, you know, with the way Adam sings with la la las and yo yo yos and whatever. I'm like going, it's island music basically put to rock and roll. You know, and I'm going, okay, that's kind of cool because, you know, that means we've got Maroon 5 as the Jimmy Buffett for rock and roll. We got Kenny Chesney as the Jimmy Buffett for country. And then to top it all off, you got Jimmy Buffett. You know, those three put together, you know, I'm like, that's a pretty cool show right there. So they did great, you know. And what I realized, though, is that very little interaction with the band between each other. Like, everybody stays in their spot. And I'm so not used to that. I felt like I was watching... and it was it Adam Levine? Levine? Mm-hmm. Okay. I felt like I was watching a solo show of his because everybody just stood in their spot and barely moved around.
Because you are.
You know, I mean, you got two other guitar players and a bass player.
Right. But Adam Levine is the front man.
Yeah, but I mean, I've seen so many other rock bands who have front men also, but they're all interacting with each other. They're all moving around. They're all entertaining. And that's what I'm used to. I mean, Motley Crue, Poison, Warren, Bon Jovi, you know.
Those are all a generation before.
And that's just it. And I'm just like, okay, so we're just going to stand here and just play like the Beatles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, once the boy bands came out, that was done.
Yeah, well, I like man bands.
Man bands, yeah. I'll prefer that as well.
I like the girl bands.
And even the girl bands move around. Vixen, the Go-Go's.
Oh, yes, they do.
You know, what's the one with
Beyonce?
Susanna Hoffs. Okay, one with
that's an illegal motion.
What's the one with Susanna Hoffs, though? The Bangles.
Bangles.
You know, even they move around, you know, kind of a thing. Well, they're older now. They don't move around as much. But I mean, to me, that's what you do. You entertain the crowd. Adam was wonderful, though. You know, he was really good at doing that. But it's like everybody else is just... I'll be like John. I'll just sit here and play my guitar, you know. And yeah, there was one scene where they had a because they had a long thrust stage kind of thing that went out into the audience. So they went out and did an acoustic song, and that was kind of cool. It was just the two guitar players and Adam, and then it was the main lead guitar player that came out and did another thing with Adam. And I thought that was kind of cool, you know. But other than that, there was like very little interaction with each other. I'm like, oh, just kind of odd, you know. One thing I did not know about Adam, though, was that he can play guitar really well. And I don't mean just like sit out there playing rhythm, but like there was two songs that he did solos for and just ripped it. And I was like, wow, okay, I just got impressed for the first time, you know, besides his voice. The thing that got me, though, was that they finish their set, Adam walks off, and the crowd is silent. The stage is dark. You slowly see people, the band members, leave the stage. It was very anticlimactic, basically. And you figure you're at a concert, you figure the crowd's going to start whooping it up and whistling and cheering and this and that in order to bring them back out on stage.
Mm-hmm.
None of that. None of that. They were just like, okay, I'm going to pull out my phone and show them the light, my little flashlight on my phone. Okay, nothing's happening. I'm going to switch hands. Okay.
Everybody's going, come on, we got to go take the babysitter home.
Yeah, nothing, you know, nothing's happening here, you know. All right, you know, okay. Well, all right, well, maybe I'll put it down. And what was funny is that there was more people showing off their flashlights on their phones for that than there was for the ballot, which I thought was hysterical. Mm. And so a good, you know, 5 minutes go by kind of a thing. And the crowd is, you hear a whoop here and a hollering there and a whistle here. But overall, it was very docile, very quiet, you know. And then so finally the band does come back out and they do like five more songs. And I'm going, okay, all right. The band, then they take a bow and they start to go backstage again. But this time the stage lights are still on. And once again, everybody's docile. And they're like, okay.
So weird.
All right. Okay. I guess we'll leave. And the band, you can tell, is waiting to see should we go out again to perform another encore or not. Nobody's whistling. There's no whooping, no hollering, nothing. And people started to leave. It was the most oddest thing I've ever seen in my life in Los Angeles at a concert. You know?
That's funny.
I mean, the only time I've seen that is like when you're watching an orchestra, you know, at like the Disney place or whatever, you know, because you know, they're old people. They just move out and that's it, you know. But this is, I mean, a group of young people and they just start. So finally, the lights of the stadium finally come on. And all of a sudden you hear this big, aw. I was like, wait a minute. You don't get to awe. You're halfway out of the stadium. You don't get to awe. You didn't cheer and encourage the band to come back out and do a couple of more songs.
Plus, they already did five more, which is a pretty good encore.
That was planned. That was actually planned. Because, I mean, I've been a musician, you know, all my life and everything, and you normally do, like, a encore, quote-unquote, you know, and you come out and you do a bunch of songs, whatever. But then you wait and see, does the crowd want more? And then you go out and you do a couple of more special songs, maybe a little bit deeper cuts or something or whatever, you know. And, you know, but you're waiting for the crowd to chant you, you know, kind of thing. None of that. I was blown away. And I'm going, okay, is that just because it's post-COVID? Or is that because, you know, this is how
Well, for a while, you weren't allowed to cheer and stuff like that for any event you were at. Big event like that, you weren't allowed to cheer.
Really?
Or scream, yeah, because of the COVID thing.
Okay, maybe that's
so
it.
So maybe that still was the thing.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. And if that is, then that explains an awful lot. Because, like I said, I mean, there was, I mean, like I said, yeah. I've seen Def Leppard, Poison, Bon Jovi, Van Halen, Sammy Hagar separately. You're always whooping, and even at the Monkees concert, you're whooping and wanting more. You know, and none of that. I was just blown away.
Weird.
And then when people go, aw, I'm like, oh, no. You don't get to aw.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't get to aw because you did not cheer, you know.
Yeah, well.
And I'm thinking, okay, I didn't know what it was or if this is just how Maroon 5 fans act, you know. So when I do go to, you know, this big Def Leppard concert later on next year or whatever, I'm wondering, how is that going to be? Because that's going to be my second post-concert, you know, big concert, basically. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really interesting. So I was like, wow. I was just wow by the whole damn thing, you know. But I will tell you this, though. The chicken fingers there, the chicken tenders and the fries, not bad. Not bad at all at that stadium. They were very good. I got to admit to that. But the water and a rock star was just as much as the chicken fingers together. Actually, they were more because they were like $6 and $7. The chicken fingers were only $12.
Oh, jeez.
So it was pretty expensive though. But Paul and I, we sat like in the nosebleed seats though, way in the back together because nobody was going to show up for them, you know. And so we sat back there and watched the whole concert, and it was good. But overall, it was entertaining though. But the people there were very entertaining at the. And I was really surprised. I'm like going, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me. Really? No. So that was part of my week and everything. So, and then the other part real quick was that my mom's cleaning out her garage for the first time in 40 years.
And really?
So yeah, and so a childhood friend of mine is kind of helping her out, and so she kind of tells me, "Hey, there's a box of stuff over here for you." I found stuff that I thought I lost, and I'm talking like old love letters from girlfriends from high school.
Oh, jeez.
Of like why?
Were there a lot of sand?
Yeah, where are those? I want to read those on.
Most of them were like, "Why I'm breaking up with you?" You know? Kind of a thing.
I still want to read those on the
air. You're a nice guy, but I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
And there was one from a girl who was a firefighter that I dated for a short time, and there's some letters from her. I found my scrapbook, a couple of scrapbooks that I had. One was of the Monkees, because I'm a huge Monkees fan, and everything. So a lot of that kind of got tossed away, though, unfortunately, because termites got into the box, and they eat paper.
Yeah. So,
but I found a lot of old high school pictures and everything. Found letters from friends of mine that two people in particular that I met in Acapulco when I was 16, and we would write back and forth. One was a guy in Mountain Lakes, New Jersey, and another one was a gal in Jacksonville, Florida. Well, I found the guy in Mountain Lakes. He's now a doctor in Florida, a cardiac doctor in Florida. You know, so I'm trying to get in touch with him, going, give me a call, you know, and everything, catch up with him. So, you know, I'm trying to find the other gal. But, yeah, I just found all this stuff. And then last night, I knew I had them. I didn't know where they were. Thank God they did not get eaten by the termites. But I have an autograph from Thomas F. Wilson and Leah Thompson when they filmed Back to the Future 2 at my high school, because they filmed 1 and 2 at my high school. And so the second time around, whatever, I got their autographs, though, and everything. So I have those. So I got to find a picture of the two of them in character, and I'm going to frame it and everything and what have you.
That's super cool.
Yeah. So that was my week. That was my fun week of Maroon 5 and going through old stuff and everything. So it was cool. I enjoyed it.
I'll go to any live concert if I'm invited, especially if I don't have to pay for the ticket.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, and then the girls, I forgot, because the Paul's friends, the girls who actually bought the tickets and everything, well, the reason why she wanted to go to see Maroon 5, it's obviously a band that she likes, but it was also her birthday this week. So this weekend's her actual birthday. We went last weekend. So they were on the ground floor. They got upgraded to third row. Because they're kind of asking, hey, you have any upgrade tickets that you're giving out or whatever, this and that? And she's like, yeah, you know, because she goes, that's my birthday. And blah, blah, blah. Okay, all right, just stand over there. And they were kind of leading other people through, and other people were asking, nope, sorry, don't have any. Nope, sorry, don't have any, you know. And then when it was time, she goes, okay, come here. And they walked over. She goes, how many? Three. We got three tickets, you know, because three of us. Okay, all right, here you go. And they were like on the floor, but like back where the sound stage, where the soundboard is, and they had to walk. They didn't realize where on the floor they were. Third freaking row. And because they kept looking at their tickets going, well, I don't see our seats. Where is it? They're like, keep going. I'm like, okay, we're going to keep. And they asked somebody else, whatever. Where is it? Oh, no, you got to keep going forward.
Keep going forward.
Well, they're like, oh my God, we're getting closer to the stage. How close have we gotten? Well, third row.
Wow.
So I was impressed. So I'm like, well, good for you, because, you know, it's your damn birthday.
Yeah, right.
You know, I only spent $20 and whatever else on food. So, you know, tickets are free. I'm pretty happy with that. So, all right. Should we do our sponsor real quick?
I don't see why not.
All righty.
You know.
No.
With things starting to open up slowly, it seems that businesses everywhere will be needing new signs.
Well, not just new businesses, but how about bands needing new merchandise, companies needing new canopies for conventions?
Well, where does one go for printing merchandise? Simple, go where we go, Stranger Prints.
Yep, Stranger Prints is the official merchandise printer for YourWeeklyDose.com. They do all of our shirts that we give away, but that's not all they do.
They do so much more, like table covers, canopies, graduation signs and banners, regular banners, stickers, slip mats for DJs, backdrops, sports jerseys, and more.
So for all of your printing needs and merchandising, go where we go, Stranger Prints.
Just go to StrangerPrints.com for more information and prices.
That's StrangerPrints.com, and tell them Your Weekly Dose sent you.
That's right.
Damn it, we just did.
Yeah.
Bitches. All right.
Okay, well.
What? I got to ask the two of you. What is the most awkward thing you did as a kid where your parents caught you?
Boy, yeah.
And for you, I know that's a lot, Steve, so there's a lot to choose from.
Well, awkward things are... I guess sneaking out at night.
Really?
Yeah, we were like 12, 13, 14. There was a group of us, and we would sneak out, and we would walk all over the place at Highland Park. We'd take people's furniture off of their porch and put it on the next door porch. And silly stuff like that. But we'd go swimming in the Eagle Rock pool, mm-hmm. which was like, it was only like a couple of miles from my house over to Occidental College. And we go over the hill from Occidental College, and there would be the Eagle Rock pool was there.
Right.
So that was, so we do that a lot, and you get caught. You know, you always get caught.
Casey?
Yeah.
Well, I tried to put my hair in my own ponytail once when I was a child, and it ended very badly with a huge knot, and I got embarrassed thinking my parents were going to get mad at me because I'd just gotten my hair caught in a knot, so I decided the best thing to do was just yank it out.
Oh, no.
So my mom comes to the car back from the grocery store. She'd just been in there for a moment or two. I come back, and I've got this ponytail in my hand, which is worse than her just having to come back and get it out.
Yeah. I think probably one of the funniest ones my mom would probably tell you is I was eating Hydrox cookies. And my mom had told me.
Name drop.
I didn't know we were going to do another commercial.
Yeah. You know, she said, but she told me, don't eat any. You know, don't eat because we got to leave. We got to go. We got to do this. We got to do that. Whatever. Well, apparently, I guess I did reach into the cookie jar and get a couple of good Hydrox because, you know, damn it, they're the original than that crappy Oreo stuff. So I reached in and had a couple of Hydrox cookies there. And my mom comes back in the kitchen. She goes, did you eat any Hydrox? Nope, I didn't eat one. I've got crumbs all around my mouth and everything. You know, I'm caught red-handed. You know, are you sure? No, Mom, I didn't have many. I've been a good boy. You know, but nope, I ate those Hydrox damn well, you know, and chomped on them. So, but, yeah, I mean, little things like that for me, you know.
I had a buddy, we went to church and we were allowed to bring a snack. Uh-huh. And so here I am, I brought like, I don't know,
Hydrox
a couple
cookies.
Little crackers or something like that, right? My mom was very, very frugal about like what we were really allowed to bring to church with us for a snack. And so she's like, okay, Casey, you know, now's a good time. You can go ahead and you can eat your snack, right? And so I get my little purse and I have like my little crackers and I'm eating my snack and my friend is sitting next to me and her mom goes, okay, Brianna, you can have your snack too. That's fine. And she gets her bag and she unzips it and she pulls out a turkey leg.
Oh, yeah.
that she snagged from the refrigerator on her own.
Oh, my God.
And brought it with her. I look at my mom like, what the heck?
I got saltines.
Yeah.
This bitch got a full half a bird. Wow. A full turkey leg.
Whole turkey leg, which for us, we were like probably 3-4 years old. So it's like that's, the size of her face.
That's like, a, you know, two meals in itself. Holy cow. Well, we got some things here that parents have caught their kids doing. Some of these are just, ooh, they're very visual, and you gotta, I don't know, they have their own story to them.
Yeah, they do.
You want to take the first one, Steve, or you want to take the first one?
Okay, I'll do it.
This one's good.
I caught my daughter packing turds into cardboard toilet paper tubes and hiding them under the sink. She called them poop bombs.
With the toilet paper still on the rolls?
Empty ones.
Empty ones.
And she picked her poop up and put their poop in the tube, and there you go. Yeah. When my son was about 4, I caught him looking up at the light fixtures and whispering to them. I asked him what he was doing. He said, I'm asking all the light bulbs in the house not to fall and kill you. Thanks, son. He's truly got my back.
Wow.
Whoa.
I caught my twins, who are in the first grade, measuring each other's penis with a tape measure.
I walked in after their baths and caught one on his back with his legs in the air. Of course, my husband said, "You don't do that until high school."
Okay, this one is, when I was little, my mom caught me bringing eggs from the kitchen into my room and sitting on them in the blanket nest, hoping that they would hatch. I put the eggs back into the fridge when they didn't hatch after a few days.
Oh, after a few days.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. We caught my sons, 3 and 6 at the time, sitting on the toilet together, one behind the other, pooping. And they told us it was a double poop.
That's a visual, man. To see two boys sitting on
the toilet. Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Yeah, save water, poop with a friend.
Oh, God. Discovered my brother was keeping a pee hat in his toy box, which was literally what it sounds like, a hat he could pee in during the night. Well, it was already a stupid idea since he wasn't emptying it, but top it off. He chose a toy construction hat with holes on the top, so his makeshift toilet was leaking already.
Oh my god.
The case is just looking at us like, wow.
Oh my god. I caught my son licking my toe. I asked him what he was doing, and he said, "Time traveling."
Are you born on drugs and you wean off them? Or?
Yeah, sometimes you are. Sometimes you are.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a good one here, too. I love the fact that it's boys, though, again, too. The majority of these seems like boys. When my boys were about 2 and 7, I walked into their room and found them rocking on their hands and knees, singing, "We are the wiener dogs." I have no fucking idea why they were doing that. Oh,
I caught my sister playing with a bag of yellowish liquid. Let me try that again. I caught my sister playing with a bag of yellowish liquid she'd pulled out of her backpack when she was 10. I asked her, "Well, what is that?" And she said it was her pee. She'd been keeping it for days, and every once in a while she'd pull it out and play with it. I was horrified.
Kids do the strangest things.
When?
My
how?
Goodness.
That's too good, man. That is too good.
Well, we had a good, we won't mention any names. We had a good friend whose little girl would smear her poop all over the bathroom wall. It's like, don't do that. Do it anyway.
That's maddening.
She'd lock the door and be in there for hours just smearing and writing name and everything with her poop.
Yep.
And then finally the mom had to, you know, open the door and get in there and get her out of there.
Oh, my God. These stories are the best birth control.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay,
this one's kind of cool here. Let's see. When my son was 3 years old, I caught him washing his eyebrows with facial cleanser. Just his eyebrows. Wet, lather, rinse, repeat. He said it made them nice and soft. And you're playing with the Oreos.
Yeah, I'm stroking them. I was seeing how soft mine were.
Okay, we caught our daughter packing peas from our garden up her nose. We had to take a trip to the emergency room where the doctor thought it was hilarious. She says, "Let me stick another one."
I did that with a crayon, with a small little pink crayon or whatever. And I don't know what I was doing, but it went in my ear and it got stuck in there or whatever, and didn't know how to get it out. Like, okay, whatever. Picked up another crayon, and then I'm taking a bath. My mom's looking at it going like, and I started to complain about something. And my mom looks in my ear or whatever and realizes there's a pink crayon. So they had to take me to emergency. And this big, it looked like a giant super soaker kind of a thing filled with hot water to jet it in and rinse it out or whatever. And yeah, pink crayon. What about that bit?
It's a funny story. My mom, when she was a child, she was at the dinner table with her father, and she just like rolled up a tiny little piece of bread into like a little bread ball, right? And she was just gonna whoop right at her father, except she did that and it went in his ear. And it went in his ear. Yeah, and so he had to end up going to the hospital so that they could get like the really long tweezers to like pull it out. Yeah, but apparently he looked at my mom like, why would you do that? And she was like,
wasn't me.
I didn't know it would happen.
I didn't know I was good, that good of a shot.
Yeah.
Like, shit, I could go play for the Lakers.
You know, later on, she did become the basketball captain.
Hey, there you go.
Right? You know, full circle, Mom.
There you go. All right, Mom. Way to go, Mom. Mm-hmm. All right, what's another one we got here?
I think you got the last one there.
Oh, okay. All right. When my son was 3 years old. Oh, this is really interesting. Okay, when my son was 3 years old, we noticed the smell of burnt plastic coming from our heater vents. I called one of my friends who worked in heating to come over and take a look at our furnace. And about 15 minutes later, he asked me to hand him 3 garbage bags through one of the vents. He came back upstairs, 3 bags of plastic toys my son had been putting down in the vents. And when I asked my son about it, he said, Mommy, there are alligators down there, and if I don't feed them my toys, they will eat my sister.
He's schizophrenic.
Kid's imagination.
It's wild. This is why I don't have children. I mean, he's schizophrenic.
Yeah, 30 years later, he's living in a house all alone. They come in and find all kinds of dead bodies stuffed down the vents.
Still feeding those alligators.
Still feeding the alligators.
There you go.
Only with people this time.
See, that's where my brain goes immediately.
Oh, there you go, guys. So, there you go. Kids caught doing the most random things. And if your parents ever caught you guys doing something, you know what? Put it up on our Twitter page or put it up on our Facebook page and let us know what your parents caught you, silly things your parents caught you doing. So, that'd be funny. Oh, boy. Yeah, that's cool. And just put hashtag random things. So, or hashtag got caught. There you go. Simple as that. Okay, so today is also motorcycle day.
Oh yeah, my landlord has a motorcycle.
Did you ever ride a motorcycle or?
Yes,
you did.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you have?
Well, I had like stuff we could go in the sand with. I had a 3-wheeler. We'd go out to Glamis. There was a bunch of us. We all had 3-wheelers and 4-wheel drive trucks, and. And whatever comes our way. We would like hit the sand. We'd leave after work on Friday, bonsai it out there, ride till we almost drop, go back and sleep.
Cool.
Get up, eat, and ride all day on Saturday, and then ride all day Sunday, and come back Sunday night, and go back to work on Monday.
Nice.
So it was great.
Cool.
Did you know?
No, I don't. No.
Well. This is going to blow your mind.
Okay.
In 1887, Yamaha started as a piano manufacturer. Now, we all know they do musical instruments.
Right, yeah.
But today is a multinational conglomerate that still produces music instruments. They have added boats, car engines, swimming pools, industrial robots, wheelchairs, RVs, electronics and golf carts and motorcycles.
Wow.
So they branched out.
I knew they did a number of different things, but I didn't think it was that much.
Yeah,
swimming pools?
Quite a number, yeah.
I'm a Yamaha swimming pool.
Good.
It's all in tune.
My Yamaha wheelchair.
It's pH balance.
Watch out.
Hey, there you go.
Come on, Granny, get out of my way. Okay, the record for the longest ever backwards motorcycle ride was set in Dipayan Chowdhury in Habalpur, India on October 7th, 2014, lasting 125.52 miles.
Wow.
202 kilometers. This guy rode his motorcycle backwards.
Must be really boring.
Really? Where are you going? Don't know, but I came from over there.
Yeah, maybe.
Like arms behind you?
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know. Or maybe you're just going, hope I don't hit nothing. Okay, legend has it that the origin of the term hog was referring to a Harley-Davidson motorcycle. It was from the early part of the 1900s, Harley's racing team, the Wrecking Crew. They had a small pig as a mascot, and one of the riders would do victory laps with the pig sitting on the bike's gas tank. In later years, HOG became the official acronym for the Harley owners group and is the trading symbol of Harley-Davidson on the New York Hawk Exchange.
Wow.
They're not on the stock exchange.
They're on the hog exchange.
Yeah. That's a,
makes sense.
Okay.
Okay.
The
Harley world's
owner group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. I didn't know that.
Neither did I. That's kind of cool. That's a really good fun fact.
Now then, this is kind of odd. The world's longest motorcycle was built in Gujarat, India in 2015 by Bharat Singh Parmar. It's sitting at 86 feet 3 inches. A motorcycle.
Hey.
That's like, wow. That's kind of funny. I like that. Okay. Suzuki. There are a lot of these. Oh, somewhere. There, sure. This is the last real line. Suzuki, almost the last one. Suzuki originally began making weaving looms for Japan's silk industry in the early part of the 1900s. Company founder Michio Suzuki wanted to diversify his company and began an engineering firm that started making small cars and engines during the 1930s. The first Suzuki motorcycle appeared in 1952 and was a motorized bicycle called a Power Free.
Huh, interesting.
Odd. Peter Fonda wore the Captain America jacket and rode his chopper around Los Angeles before shooting began on the movie Easy Rider to give them a broken-in look and to get used to riding the radically designed bike. Now, the American flag on the back of the jacket and on the gas tank of the bike caused him to be pulled over several times by the local gendarme.
Wow. Very cool. Very cool. So there you go. Fun facts.
Wait, there's more.
Oh, we got more fun facts.
There are. They're quick ones. Okay, real quick. Okay. Actual motorcycle clubs were on the set of the 2003 movie Biker Boys to aid with trick stunts and racing. The first company that advertised a motorcycle's top speed of over 100 miles an hour was Brough Superior. That claim was made for its SS100 in 1924. 2016, California reported the highest amount of registered motorcycles in the country.
Wow.
842,000.
That's
a lot. And the longest motorcycle jump on record was set by Robbie Madison in Melbourne, Australia, jumping 346 feet to set the world record.
No Evel Knievel?
Nope.
Oh.
What a loser.
107 meters. That's not bad.
That's pretty damn good. A good song. I gotta hear it to the break though, so keep this up. So good.
That was terrible.
This part right here, this is the part I like. Crank it. Love that jump part. All right. Well, let's move on. So, I was going across this article last night, and then it led me to another article, and I thought it was a little bit interesting because it kind of makes sense for the ladies. How often should you get new underwear?
When they rip.
The same thing for men. You know, it's like, hey, you got holes in it, toss it, get it, and everything. So, and that's pretty much what it kind of comes down to. But it also depends, health-wise, the kind of material that you get. So what do you think is the best material to get for ladies
underwear, the panties that you guys wear?
Cotton?
Cotton. It's more breathable.
Mm-hmm.
It's the biggest thing. Yeah. So basically, the answer is simple here. Let's see. Dr. Tarana Sharianan, a gynecologist at NYU. For starters, no medical evidence shows that wearing old underwear is unhealthy or risky for you or anything like that for your vaginal condition. But in terms of comfort, reducing the odds of any issues happening like an allergic reaction or infection can make sense to replace underwear on a regular basis.
The vaginal condition.
That's what it says.
I'm going to remember that term.
Yeah.
It's like a weird health class.
It is. It is. But if your undies are mechanically dysfunctional, in quotation marks, in other words, they have holes or the elastic is gone, she goes, yeah, basically, you know, it's time to replace. The best is cotton because it does have the most breathable material. Anything else, whatever, it can hold in the moisture, which then can cause yeast infections. So it's just kind of like...
Ooh, I like it!
And if you like yeast infections, good for you. Absolutely. You know.
I thought that's what we were aiming for.
Oh, well, maybe.
Well, because scratching it feels so
good. Oh,
wow. Oh. Oh.
I thought I took it too far.
Oh, boy. Wow. Hello, hello, hello.
Gross. All right.
I don't know if I should tell my story.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know about that one there now. Wait, so, I want to ask you, Casey, how often... do you go off and buy new underwear for yourself? Like once a year, every 6 months?
Yeah. When the sales are good.
They are expensive. They are expensive. I've done shopping for my wife.
If I see a sale going on or something like that, I'll buy a couple extra pairs, especially if it's like the 5 for $20 or something going on like that.
Oh, where are you finding those?
I know, Target.
See, I hate Target because you can't find matching stuff, though.
I know.
That's the biggest lesson I learned from another woman. Mom, don't listen. I was dating an older woman. Sorry, Mom. And the biggest thing that... she taught me, because she did it for herself, for her own pleasure and for her own, what's the word I'm looking for? Knowing who she is as a woman.
Validation?
Yeah, I guess. Okay. Was that if she was wearing a blue dress, then her bra and panties would be blue and they would match.
Okay.
You know, if she's wearing purple or yellow, whatever color dress she was wearing, she would find as close as she could matching bra and panties with it. I'm like, that's sexy, because that kind of, you know, told her who she was overall as a woman. I found that to be one of the sexiest things, you know, that I think a woman can do, because it validates who she is overall, you know. Do you kind of do the same thing, or do you kind of go, whatever?
No, I'm lucky if you get me wearing underwear.
Well, we'll take a note of that.
Sorry, Mom.
Callers, call in right now.
I actually hate bras.
Hate bras.
Uh-huh. Oh, they're awful.
I'm almost all of them.
They chafe me like right here. Really bad. And like right on top of the rib right there.
And then the sizing standard for underwear is outrageous. Yeah. And you're not allowed to try them on, obviously.
I thought you could.
Well, no, especially not since COVID.
Well, not since COVID, yeah.
Apparently COVID is vaginally transmitted.
Well, that I understand, but I thought you could try it on bras, though.
Maybe. Bras more likely, yeah. Probably.
But
that's not true. It's not. But yeah, you'll have one that's a small and it's like this big, another one that's a small and it's like this big, and you're like, who were these models?
Yeah, exactly.
Can't we have a standardized
system? Have the same problem just with clothes in general or shirts, because, you know, if you get the stuff overseas or whatever, their sizing is completely different. You know, you order something that's a 2X or or even a single X, whatever. I mean, I look like Baby Huey. You know, I got to get like a 5X kind of a thing just to have it look normal on me, you know, overall. So I can only imagine what it's like for you ladies trying to figure out what goes with what and what sizes are what. Is it the correct size, you know, for me
And we're not overall. Even talking about overseas. These are all American sizes. That are just
too,
all
yeah.
over the place. It's
yeah.
whatever company decides what their standard is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Because you never know which way they're going to go.
Yep, right. Some overall. Companies are like, well, we don't want to make the women seem large, so we'll put this one as our zero.
Mm-hmm. Now, for your favorite, for panties, do you like more just like a regular or thong or the new boy, what they call the boy shorts kind
no,
of thing?
No, I'm always a thong.
Always a thong?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Pretty much always a thong. There's a time and a place for those. I like the board shorts when I'm doing like a dress or things of that nature. But that's if.
And if you're in the mood, you know.
I have undies on today.
Hey, if I get the opportunity, I like a nice thong.
All right,
myself.
What color?
They're teal, green, polka dots.
Oh, that's one of my favorite.
Yeah.
Those are cool. There is something to me, and it's weird because, you know, I'm a guy. I like the thongs, you know, what they call like the whale tail look or whatever on a woman. I like that.
Okay.
I hate the G-string.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know what it is. I just don't like the G-string. It's like, but if you know, like when it bends over or whatever, and I see just literally a string, you know, I don't like it. But if I see the whale tail kind of thing, I love it. I don't know what it is. You know, I like the thong so much better.
I tend to agree with you on that as well.
My girl bends over in front of me. I don't give a damn what kind of
granny panties or not, I'm taking it.
Yeah. I just can't stand an underwear mark like in someone's pants when they're working if I can see the line from their underwear.
Oh, yeah.
Frustration to me.
That's one thing, too, is like, you know, where I think where certain types of ladies' panties does make sense. Like you were saying, you know, I might wear the boy shorts or whatever if I'm wearing a dress. But I think it also depends on the kind of dress you're wearing, because if it's one of those little skin-tight kind of things, you better be wearing a thong, because otherwise you can tell what's going on. And I've seen women going, oh, honey, you need to wear it. You need to go change, sweetheart, because that just looks horrible.
Yeah, but then there's some men that like to see that panty line.
Steve?
I know, and I've met them.
There again, if a woman's bending over in front of me, I tend to roll my eyes up in the back of my head.
Like a camera snapshot for later.
I'm going to use that tonight.
Oh, yeah. Go Hanes.
Oh, Jesus.
Hanes, Fruit of the Loom. Fruit of the Loom. Come on, baby.
There's an online game I'm playing called Summertime Saga.
Uh-huh.
And it's about this 18-year-old boy who his dad just died, and he's living with his dad's best friend. Oh, yeah. A woman who's real sexy, and she has a sister who's real sexy. Anyway, he goes in the woman's room and finds her panties in the drawer, and he lays on her bed, and he uses them to masturbate with. And so she comes in and catches him, and she's all like, oh, you really shouldn't do that in my bed, but, you know, I understand, you know, blah, blah, blah.
I saw this on Pornhub last week.
Do you need some help? And then she takes her robe and,
oh my God,
she's naked, and he watches her, and he finishes.
Yep.
And
Pornhub last week.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Now I'm going to ask something really weird for you, Steve. Have you changed what you wore as far as your underwear is concerned through the years, or have you kind of stayed the same?
Well, till a certain point, I wore what I was given,
which
was usually just, you know, white.
The tiny whiteies?
Tiny whiteies, yeah. But I like compression shorts.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't like tiny whiteies. When I played basketball, I used to wear them instead of a jock strap. So I'd buy a pair that was a little smaller than I would normally take, and it.
Yeah, you did.
It felt more comfortable than a jock strap did. So I would use that when I played basketball. But other than that, I like boxers and compression shorts, and, you know, they kind of come down.
My grandfather would switch back and forth between tiny whiteies and then regular boxer shorts. Mm-hmm. I could never wear boxer shorts myself. You know, I just didn't. But growing up, most of the time, I think it was tiny whiteies. And then I think by the time I hit my 30s or so, then I kind of moved over to, I guess what you're kind of talking about, it's like a compression short, but it's like a boxer cut.
Yeah, it's boxers, but they're tight.
But they're tight, yeah, exactly.
Stretchy and tight.
Yeah, and those I like an awful lot, so I'll wear those.
Now I really don't wear them. I've got a couple of pairs of boxers, but I really don't ever.
I've
it
never.
Doesn't see, it doesn't matter. Yeah. I don't really need them for anything. Yeah. There we go.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so we're the same. We're the same.
We're the same.
We're the same. I like it. I like it. So either way, ladies, when you know, going out, buying new underwear, go out and do it. Get it done, you know. And be sexy if you want to at a little bit of time. It helps. It's helpful. It's helpful. Right, Casey?
Yes, for sure. There's a time and place for everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, well, we're going to try something for you guys right now. It is National Cake Decorating Day. So Steve and I are going to decorate these cakes. We've got these small little or large cupcake kind of things here that we got from the store. We got from Albertsons. So thank you, Albertsons. We appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't donate it. We just want to say thank you because they gave them to me.
I like Albertsons.
No, Albertsons is good. No, they're really good. Yeah. And then got some decorating stuff and everything. So the next 10 minutes, basically... and we're going to do this on Facebook Live as well. So hopefully we can get the feed over there. You'll probably hear it through the phone mainly of what we're doing, but you can also listen to it and watch it at the same time. And just we're going to, you know, kind of cake decorate here and talk about some other stuff. And,
yeah.
Ooh, we got some music. I like this.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, so are you ready to shoot there?
All right. We're starting live.
We're starting live. Okay, all right. I'm going to switch over to the microphone over here.
There we are. We're going live, gentlemen. We are rolling. Sean, would you like to wave?
Hey, everybody.
Good morning.
Do you have any napkins or anything? Okay, well. Okay.
Waste time with the masterpiece. Waste time with the masterpiece. You should be rolling with me. You should be rolling with me.
All right.
So, we're being, do we need to wait till she's.
No, she's live.
We're rolling.
Okay.
She's live.
So carefully, let's start dangerously.
And then basically everybody else gets to vote on who decorated their cake the best.
Okay.
So we got a bunch of different things here. So, I've got a couple of ideas in my head.
I've got one idea in my head.
Uh-oh. Alright. So there's the frosting there. We got sprinkles, we've got like name things that we can write on and stuff and so forth. So I don't know if we're going to do a Halloween theme or something or what, but we got these different sprinkles, as you can see here, different colors. They're very LGBTQ, HIJK, LMNOP style kind of a thing there. So for everybody out there in West LA and West Long Beach and all the west side of the places, there you go. They're just so happy. All right. So. Now, do you bake, Casey, by chance or no?
I do, actually.
What's your best thing that you bake?
Baking-wise, I like to do a brownie cheesecake.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, actually, just made them the other day for my friend's birthday.
Wow. Okay, you cut yours in half.
Oh.
Man, all right. Okay. So, yeah, I'm just going to kind of dig in here. Do a little bit of... I think I'm just going to do a little bit of a traditional frosting for myself.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, right. You just cut yours in half. You're doing a filling, son of a gun, you. All right. So what other things have you baked before, Casey?
Successful or failures?
Either or, don't matter.
I really failed one night doing... French macaroons. Absolutely failed.
What was so hard about doing the French macaroons?
The
she
texture.
Doesn't speak French.
It is true, I don't speak French, though. But definitely the texture. You have to whip the eggs, and I found the... You found later on that actually the bowl that you use to whip the eggs in determines the texture that the eggs will take as you whip them.
Uh-huh.
And I was doing that completely wrong.
So it has to be a specific bowl then? Or?
Yeah, it's a specific bowl. I think it was... can't be metal. It has to be like ceramic.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
So something very specific then.
And then, yeah, and then you have to whip them really, 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 really firm until you can do something with them.
A while ago, I wanted to learn how to make homemade tortillas. And that takes a little while, too, because you have to get that one just right as well. the mixture between them all and everything, too.
You guys are taking very different approaches here, gentlemen.
My name is Johnny Vo.
Hi, Johnny. What's going on, Johnny?
Hi, Johnny.
You're interrupting our show, Johnny. Get the hell off the air there. So, okay. Okay, I'm going to be very careful with this. Ooh, I like the music of this one. Taking a couple of pictures here. Now, Steve's kind of cut his in half and kind of doing a filling there where I am kind of just...
Sean, you look like you're taking a little bit more of a meticulous route.
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of getting it because I've got
He's kind of building it up. Building it up. We've gone from yellow. What color do you have now? What color?
Well, no,
we're still on the yellow.
I'm still doing yellow.
All right. Here we...
I like cake. Anything that they bake. And I like crackers too, broken up in my stew.
Dead air's not good when we're trying to do this here, but Steve is, God, Steve is like really kind of going all out here. Alright, so. He's doing something different.
Yeah, Steve's looks like a heartburn.
He's got a heartburn. Okay, so I'm done with that one. Oh, did I just break this? Oh, I hope not. I broke it, I think.
Don't know your own strength.
I guess not. Holy shit. Okay, all right. Let's see here. I need... Is this black? No. What's that? What color is this, Steve?
What?
What's this one? Blue?
Yeah.
Blue? Okay, all right. That'll work.
It's like a blue gel.
Okay, blue gel. Okay. So I want to do that. Or did Steve use all the blue gel?
There wasn't much in there.
Okay. All right, so I'm trying to... Boy, there really isn't much in here. All right. I'm trying to do legs and feet here, and I can't.
I like ma, I like pa, like my right. Old music hall.
Okay,
like
so now this is what, black?
Like the weed and
all right,
the
so I'm going to take my black like sprinkles. So I've already got yellow sprinkles on mine. I've got blue gel. And use those as legs and everything.
Legs?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
And then, well, I don't know if you can figure it out. So now I'm taking the black. And let's see if I can...
Okay, okay.
Nope, that ain't working out the way I want it to be. Not at all. I was trying to get these little black sprinkles to make eyes, and I think I need actually eyes to do it. So, I think what I'll do down is probably... Oh, careful, Steve, because you got this top one open, too. Okay, and we need to open this up. Damn, I don't have a cutter or anything.
Unprepared, unprepared, gentlemen.
I thought I'm...
you thought impromptu was the way to go.
I thought I did, and...
The Uber Eats app for availability. You and me,
babe. Hey.
Oh, my God, really? Wow, next thing you know, she's going to put on cherry pie for Warrant.
Well, you guys were supposed to be done within two songs, you know?
Okay, you know what?
I'm done.
Okay. I can't get mine. Oh, all right, sugar chips.
There you go.
Okay, there you go. That's pretty cool. All right.
And actually, a lot of girls that go to Electric Daisy Carnival... You know, they don't wear tops, but they put like glitter and things around their boobs and some of them don't wear pasties or anything. They just use that glitter and makeup.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's kind of what it looks like.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
And I can't get my other thing out, but okay. Mine was supposed to be SpongeBob SquarePants.
Well, all your materials are round, so I can see how that was a problem.
So, but you see the legs, there's SpongeBob. Yeah. There's supposed to be his eyes, and So, but yeah, this thing didn't cut off right.
I have to say it, gentlemen. I think Steve won.
Yeah.
I think Steve won the cake decorating contest.
I think so too. I think so too. You know,
that was not what who I would have pegged for a winner. I didn't know what was happening.
Let me. Can I turn this around? Oh, okay. Legs.
Yeah.
And a yellow.
Yeah. SpongeBob.
I thought you were going with the smiley face from Walmart.
No, no. And I'm going to try and do the arms, but I can't get this damn thing open to save my life right now. But you know what? Steve outdid me, absolutely. He got the sugar tits. So, yeah. I say Steve won, too. So.
Yeah, I think that was, okay. I think it's pretty uncontended.
Yeah.
In the game I'm playing, there's this one place in town he goes to that he knows the girls that work there, and it's a tattoo parlor called Sugar Tats.
Oh, that's funny.
And they've got a pair of big boobs with
tattoos.
Sugar cubes,
right,
on them as their logo on the store. It's really cool.
Did we lose the top to this one?
Yes.
Where is it?
It's under me.
It's under you.
Yeah. Okay. It's right there.
I see it. Okay. We'll get it.
We gotta be careful so we don't spill. That's why. So.
Okay.
That's why I have the towel here in case we did spill.
All right, gentlemen, wave goodbye to your adoring
fans.
All
right, guys. Well, Steve won with sugar tits. I lost with SpongeBob. So basically, think of this as Phineas and Ferb winning the Emmy right now and stealing it away from SpongeBob because it's about damn time, you know, because SpongeBob always got the Emmys and everything. So that's the way I'm going to go with it. So good job, brother.
Why, thank you.
I liked it. Good job there. All right.
All right, gentlemen.
I decided to go with something I know.
It was a good segue talking about, you know, panties and bras, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, cool deal.
All right, wave goodbye.
Bye, guys. We'll see you here. All
right. Well, that was fun. I worked for a computer company, and one of the birthdays we had was for this girl who had, like, really big breasts. And so they had a cake made that were a couple of breasts. It was so... She opened it up. She's like, oh, my God. And that was fun. And then the next person had a birthday was a guy, and they made a big penis cake.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was just, you know, the penis and the balls right there on
wow.
the cake. And they opened that and everybody cheered.
Yeah. Dig in. Who's getting the tip?
Yeah. Mm.
Cool. That was fun. So, yeah, mine look. Wow, it looks like shit. I'll tell you that right now. I was trying to do a square as much as possible or whatever and do the arms and everything, but it didn't come out that way. But, oh, well. Maybe next time I'll just say screw it. So. All right. Hey, you know what time it is, though?
Time for a little class.
A little culture.
Something we like to call
pocket-size cinema. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And welcome to pocket-size cinema. Today's feature is entitled A Midlife Crisis. A Midlife Crisis. Midlife.
Crisis.
Yeah. That means that's worse than my cake decorating skills. We open when a man in his 40s bought a new BMW convertible and was out for a nice evening drive. The top was down, the breeze was blowing through what was left of his hair, and he decided to see how fast the car would go. So let's pick up the action here, shall we? Sit back, relax, and enjoy. Midlife crisis.
Whoa! Would you look at that? The needles jumped to 90 miles an hour. I wonder how much more this baby can do.
Suddenly, the man sees flashing red and blue lights behind him.
Idiot! You're not going to be able to catch a Beamer!
Woo-hoo! The man slams on the gas pedal to the floor. The needle hits 100, 120. Then the reality of the situation hits him.
Woo! What the hell am I doing?
The man finally pulls over and the officer approaches the car. Without a word, the man hands the officer his license and registration. The officer examines it and the car.
You know, it's been a long day and it's the end of my shift. And it's Friday, the 13th. I don't feel like more paperwork. So if you can give me an excuse for your driving that I haven't heard before, you, sir, can go.
The man thinks for a second and says,
last week, my wife ran off with a cop. I was afraid you were going to try to bring her back.
You like that one? There you go. A little bit of class and culture for everybody. It's been too long since we've given you class and culture. But you know what time it is now for? What's news?
I always miss this one.
Uh-oh.
What's news, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's news, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa.
This moment of silence brought to you by Casey Summer. Are you going to go?
Yeah, you know what? Okay. This one, I got to say, is freaking brilliant, though. Okay? For $84,000, an artist returned two blank canvases with the title, Take the Money and Run. Cage is looking at me like, what?
I actually saw pictures of this on
the internet. Did I. Yeah, okay. So here it goes. The money was supposed to be used to create modern art, and it was, but not in the way Danish museum expected. When it gave an artist the equivalent of $84,000 in return, it received two empty canvases. The artist Jens Hanning, it looks like, says the blank canvases make up the work of art titled "Take the Money and Run." He calls the commentary on poor wages. One thing it's not, he says, is theft. It's breach of contract, and breach of contract is part of the work, he said, according to the Danish public broadcaster. The work is that I have taken their money in return, given them the picture that I thought should see fit. So the museum, though, of modern art in Aalborg isn't really satisfied with that explanation, of course. But at the same token, it hasn't stopped them from displaying both of the blank canvases, though. So take the money and run. There you go.
Ta-da!
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Gotta admit, that's pretty damn clever, though, for that guy.
You heard about what Banksy did, right?
Huh?
So Banksy had a... Banksy is a graffiti artist.
Uh-huh.
I think he's over in the UK.
Okay.
And he had a painting that went up for auction, and they bid on it. And then as soon as the gavel hit, sold. Right?
Right.
Take that man's number. The painting proceeded to pass down through the frame and then through a shredder.
Ooh, cool.
No.
Yep.
Really?
Yep, and Banksy set that up. And now it's worth more than it even sold for when it was just the painting itself.
Holy mackerel.
Because damn it, that's art.
When I was in college, I majored in fine art. And one of the things I turned in an assignment, it was a frame, and it was just white. The background's just white. And I hung it up and I go, yeah. And they go, what the hell is that? And I go, that's a cow eating grass. And the professor goes, where the hell's the grass? The cow ate it.
Well,
well, then
cow?
Where's the cow? Well, why would the cow hang around if the grass was gone? I got an A.
Too bad he could have gotten $84,000.
Yeah, well, it was in college.
Oh.
They didn't have the budget.
What do you got?
Let's see. You know, if you're a musician, you're very familiar with the term bridge.
That's the concept
in a song, is right. A bridge. Well, guitarist Nate Mercero is taking that term literally. Apparently, he released a new album in collaboration with San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge.
Huh?
Yes, the bridge, the noise the bridge makes with, you know, the wind and the traffic and all that hum.
I'm following.
Marcel says he first heard about the sound through a San Francisco Chronicle article that delved into how residents have been complaining about it. But when
Marcel Mickey
heard recordings of the sound, which it produced by wind passing through the slats of the bridge, he was immediately struck by its beauty. It's remarkably musical. So, it even said it played multiple notes. So it was him doing his droning guitar improvisations over the eerie hum of the Bay Area landmark.
Okay. Interesting. Wow. All right.
How about that?
Okay.
Huh?
Okay. All right.
Almost anything could be an instrument.
Very true. Very true. You know, this one's kind of hard to believe, though. But there's a guy named Billy Bob.
No.
Yeah. Yep. And he got drunk.
Mm-hmm. As Billy Bob is
do. Right. And then he did something dumb.
What did he do?
Well, a guy in Texas named Billy Bob recently got drunk before turning himself in for a parole violation. So he's trying to be good to himself. You know, that makes sense. I don't want to, you know.
Might as well feel good.
Yeah, I don't want to go back, whatever. Well, he showed up at the police station, and it turned out there wasn't a warrant out for arrest, but he was so drunk that they busted him for public intoxication.
So they arrested him.
So they arrested him anyway.
This thing keep grabbing my sock.
It likes you.
Velcro. Okay. Well, you know, there's always debate about how intelligent animals are.
Right.
You know, as opposed to the humans. Well, here's an example. What if you were told that there was a hamster who has been trading cryptocurrency since June?
Huh?
Yeah, what? A hamster. And recently was doing better than Warren Buffett and the S&P 500.
Oh, shit.
His name is Mr. Gox, a hamster who works out of what is possibly the most high-tech hamster cage in existence. The hamster does it himself. It's designed so that when Mr. Gox runs on the hamster wheel, he can select among dozens of cryptocurrencies. Then, deciding between two tunnels, he chooses whether to buy or sell. According to the Twitch account for the hamster, his decision is sent over to a real trading platform, and yes, real money is involved.
Wow.
As of September 12th, Mr. Gox was performing better than Bitcoin, the NASDAQ 100, Warren Buffett's? That's Warren Buffett's cousin. Berkshire Hathaway and the S&P 500.
Oh, man. Wow. Well, okay.
So that shows you how that cryptocurrency really is. Some hamster just by chance spins a wheel and chooses a tunnel that he does so well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there you go, guys. That's What's News.
What's News, Pussycat?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
What's News, Pussycat?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
All righty, guys. Well, it looks like that's going to be the show for us today.
I still have these best pirate puns staring me in the face from last week.
That's from 3 weeks ago.
Let me just say one. How do you make a pirate very angry? You take away the P. Okay, that felt better. Thank you.
Oh, yes. Well, show's website, yourweeklydose.com, Facebook page, Your Weekly Dose. Mm-hmm. Our Twitter and Instagram is at Your Weekly Dose One.
You can find me, Steve, on Facebook, Steve Silva. And Twitter is at SilvaLining69.
And if you want to follow me, Sean, anywhere on the social media, it's simply look up Sean R. Unplugged.
Are you?
Are you still in jail?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Probably about 20 days.
Nice. Atta girl. I'm so proud of you. Look at you in the Facebook jail.
I know. Only two more episodes, and then you guys can get my handles.
Wow. Ooh.
All right.
Wow. As her boyfriend already didn't, you know. All righty, guys. You guys take care. We'll see you. Have a good weekend. Be good to each other.
Hey, have fun, world.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.